This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby in for Virginia Prescott. Alex Jones' radio show and website InfoWars is practically an all-you-can-eat buffet of conspiracy theories. Top news right now includes the massive alleged cover-up of Hillary Clinton's fainting spell, some 15-year anniversary articles about 9/11 truthers, and something about Tim Kaine's radical Soviet roots. For a time, these were the types of stories that fascinated Lenny Posner, until his son Noah was killed during the Sandy Hook shootings in December of 2012. Not long afterwards, conspiracy theorists accused the government of manufacturing the tragedy in order to support gun control, and went as far as claiming that grieving family members like Lenny and his wife were actually actors paid to play the part of victims. And while most victims chose to ignore these conspiracies, Posner has made fighting them his personal mission. Reeves Weideman profiled Lenny Posner for New York Magazine, and he joins us on the line to tell us a little bit more about these theories and Posner's mission. Hi, Reeves.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So you write that Lenny used to be someone who would argue about 9/11. How do you think that background influenced his reaction when Sandy Hook hoaxers started to question the narrative?
Yeah, I mean, Lenny admitted, you know, for a while he kind of, like a lot of Americans, sort of entertained, you know, a variety of conspiracy theories. And the main way that it impacted his life when he sort of became the subject of one was that he was just more aware of it than a lot of the parents. You know, he told me that he kind of found out about these conspiracy theories just kind of by checking the websites, particularly Alex Jones's website, in sort of the weeks after the shooting and realizing that this was something that had become a topic of discussion.
And it almost sounds like he was maybe a little empathetic at first. You know, having been on one side of it, he said, "Hey, look, I can see where you're coming from. You know, I'm here to talk."
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Lenny would use the word empathetic, especially given his situation. But I think that there is some truth to that. That he sort of understood what was appealing about conspiracy theories to people who sort of buy into them, and he could see how. You know, I think Sandy Hook is an exception, but a lot of conspiracy theories are sort of fun to think about. You can sort of become kind of an amateur detective and sort of parse through through, you know, whatever circumstantial evidence you can find to support the idea that what we believe happened or what most people believe happened didn't. And then there was certainly a part in this case where he knew that in a lot of cases people find conspiracy theories sort of comforting and in this case, in the case of Sandy Hook, there was certainly a large group of people who just couldn't fathom the sort of horror of the event. And so considering the idea that this was, you know, a sort of put on event by some powerful nefarious force rather than one lone sort of crazed person conducting this massacre was easier for a lot of people to comprehend.
Yeah. Of course, like you said, you know, it might be fun to think about whether or not the moon landing could have been faked. This feels like, you know, the people at the center of Sandy Hook are going through so much. The idea that they would have to face people accusing them of not losing their children is just, I mean, it's absurd. It's just so tragic. And people really were sort of coming after some of the family members here. Is there a playbook for dealing with conspiracy theorists like this? I mean, my first inclination was
sure.
To think, just don't even acknowledge them.
Yeah, and I think that's largely what most of the families in Newtown have done, and to varying degrees of success. I think, you know, some of them, you know, it's basically the idea of don't feed the trolls, that if you sort of ignore them, then, you know, they may not go away, but they may at least just kind of exist in their own world and not necessarily bother you. But that certainly becomes harder on the internet, which is something we've seen in a variety of spaces, not just with conspiracy theories in recent years. And you know, the kind of one really, I think, sort of stark example in this case is one of the prominent sort of hoaxer theories, conspiracy theorist theories, is that One particular girl who was killed was not killed. That's part of the whole theory, that the no children were actually murdered, and that child is living as another person, as another young girl who is alive and who is now, you know, 11, 12 years old. And if she Googles herself, she finds the only results are people, you know, posting articles saying that she is not, in fact, who she believes she is, but that she is a dead former classmate of hers.
Yeah.
So there isn't, you know, that's sort of the thing that we haven't figured out how to deal with, is how to deal with, you know, there's questions of free speech. People can ask questions, and that's something we've decided is okay. The internet allows people to kind of do this, you know, more or less anonymously, or without, at least without, you know, a real threat that anything might happen to them, or that there's any consequences. So going into this, there certainly wasn't a sense of what to do, and I think Lenny has kind of gone through a number of phases in terms of how he thinks they should be dealt with.
Well, let's talk about some of those phases. I mean, how did he first respond to Sandy Hook hoaxers, and how did that develop over time?
I think his first response initially in the weeks after the shooting was to ignore it, to hope that it was going to go away. You know, he was dealing with so many other things at the time that was his sort of initial reaction. And then, you know, a year had sort of gone by, the first anniversary of the shooting passed, and it hadn't gone away. And that was sort of a point where Lenny sort of said, you know, this isn't going away. My life is still kind of in shambles. This is one thing that, A, I'm familiar with, and B, Lenny also sort of had a technological background, so he was used to sort of interacting with people on the web in a way that some people aren't. And so I think it seemed like something that he could actually do something about. And his first sort of way of doing that was to try to convince people that, you know, this had really happened to him, to his family, and to other families. And for a while he had some success sort of going into online forums, getting a lot of people who you know, at least were willing to entertain this theory. He was able to convince them otherwise, in part by releasing documents. He released the death certificate for his son, the medical examiner's report, his report card, all sorts of documents to kind of show this. And for a while, it worked. And then at a certain point, he sort of found that there wasn't anyone else left to convince. And that was when his campaign sort of changed.
Reeves Weideman is a contributor to New York Magazine, where he wrote about Lenny Posner, who lost his son during the Sandy Hook shootings in 2012, and has since been fighting back against conspiracy theorists who claim that the tragedy never took place. Well, Lenny, in his sort of crusade against these conspiracy theorists, he started doing a few different things to make some headway. He started filing copyright claims for photos. So anytime you know, one of these websites or a conspiracy theorist is using unauthorized photos of one of the victims from Sandy Hook or a family member, he could basically get them taken offline because they don't have copyright. Mm-hmm. You actually found out that some people called this getting Posnered.
Yeah, that was sort of the second phase of his campaign. Once he realized, you know, that he wasn't going to convince the people who were sort of remaining, he decided, well, there's all this stuff on the internet about me, about my child. I'm going to try to get it taken down. And you know, he found it was sort of met with a lot of frustration in terms of you know, trying to get Twitter, Facebook, Google, which owns YouTube, which is where a lot of sort of the conspiracy theory content lives, to get them to take things down for harassment or for whatever other reason. Typically, those places will sort of defend it on sort of free speech grounds, but he did find that, you know, when they used family photos that he, you know, owned the copyright on, he was able to then get things taken down. And for a while, I think he, you know, that sort of worked as well. He found some success there and some satisfaction. It was obviously sort of, you know, sort of satisfying to at least be able to take some of this stuff down. If you Google him and his son's name, you know, there will still be some of that, but it's a lot less than there used to be.
Yeah, I almost got the sense in your article that he and some of the other people that really are pushing back against the hoaxers, is that they're almost starting to play at their own game. They're almost realizing that, you know, this is an online game and you just have to be two steps ahead of the other side.
Yeah, I think there was a certain sense that, you know, this is a battle that's extremely difficult to win. I mean, it's a sort of a game of whack-a-mole where you can take down one website, but then another one's going to pop up. And so I think at a certain point, they did try, Lenny and others have sort of moved to try to do something a little more more permanent, which is, in recent cases, he's filed lawsuits. They have gotten books taken off of Amazon, as another example. And most recently, Lenny didn't do this, but another parent in Newtown had sort of led a campaign of reaching out to the family members of sort of the leaders of the conspiracy theory movement and sort of saying, you know, your father or husband or wife or whoever is kind of leading this charge that's hurting families, and you have a responsibility. And there seems to have been at least some results from that sort of appeal.
It's funny, when I was reading this, I was thinking that, you know, as opposed to something like the Kennedy assassination or even 9/11 mm-hmm. truthers, I personally have never met somebody who seriously thinks Sandy Hook was mm-hmm. a hoax. And I wondered whether or not this whole crusade on some level, no matter what sort of progress they make, helps to spread or even legitimize this theory, because most people are not thinking about it that way.
Yeah, well, I would say you may be surprised. Have you ever asked someone about it? I've just sort of having conversations with people about this, have come across people, you know, no one, thankfully, in my sort of close personal circle, but I've met people who know people who say, you know, the details just don't quite add up. And so, you know, I think some of this stuff is a little more widespread. And I think for most people, it becomes a, you know, they watch a YouTube video, they read a couple articles, they go on to some forums, and they're maybe like, oh, that's interesting. And then they move on. And it doesn't become a preoccupation. It doesn't become something that they, you know, push themselves. And yeah, there's certainly some level where, you know, this could, you know, talking about it more could add fuel to the fire. But I think, you know, Lenny would argue that there's the fire is already there, that, you know, it's already there and it shows no signs of stopping. So you have to do something.
Mm. You know, people deal with tragedy in a lot of different ways. Do you think that this fight has been good for Lenny, given him something to do with his grief in the same way that, you know, maybe some family members of victims might find meaning in policy or gun control or different mm-hmm. types of advocacy?
I think to a certain extent, Lenny's wife is one of the people who, his ex-wife, who have really pushed for gun control in the wake of Sandy. And certainly some of the parents, and she admitted this, sort of found, you know, were sort of energized that they were able to put their energy into that and their grief into that. And I think there's some level of satisfaction for Lenny. At the same time, I think he would love to, you know, move on from this, to not have to deal with it and sort of be in the trenches with these people, at least for too much longer.
Well, Reeves, it's a wild story, and thank you so much for reporting it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Reeves Weideman profiled Lenny Posner for New York Magazine. You'll find a link to his article at wordofmouthradio.org.